Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Zayin, Be'elul, Parashas Nitzavim, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 10 September 2015, webcasting from clueless Israel once again. I mean, really, Israelis have to wake up. Here are the first five sentences of a late-breaking story today reported by the Times of Israel website, quote, Israel's foreign ministry came out swinging Thursday after the European Parliament passed a resolution that advocated a distinction between Israel and its West Bank settlements and the labeling of settlement produce. Lawmakers had called earlier in the day for the, quote, differentiation between Israel and its activities in the occupied Palestinian territory and encouraged EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini to take the lead, completing the work of EU-wide guidelines on the labeling of Israeli settlement produce. Israel's foreign ministry lashed out against the EU in a scathing response, calling it discriminatory and reeking of boycott. Under the guise of a technical procedure, it's an attempt to force a diplomatic solution instead of encouraging the Palestinians to return to negotiations. Europe treats Israel with sanctimonious hypocrisy when it doesn't raise the issue of similar situations in northern Cyprus and western Sahara, close quote. And I say, when are Israelis going to understand that so long as they continue to use this language, the lexicon that they do, the Europeans will continue to act the way they do? This is journalist Tamar Pileggi, who wrote this lead sentence. Listen again. The foreign ministry came out swinging after the European Parliament advocated making a distinction between Israel and the West Bank. Dearest Tamar, so long as you and Israelis, especially in the foreign ministry, use the term West Bank, the Europeans will act as they do. Israel has also never claimed the West Bank, and here again Israel has admitted that much of the West Bank should belong to the ancient ones. And you also use, as Israelis do, the settlements. Europeans will behave as they do. At Auschwitz, the Germans turned living Jews into objects, more precisely, into animals, or like animals, like cattle, diseased cattle that must be destroyed. And being Germans, Ordnung muss sein, there must be order, they registered everyone, and like branding an animal, they burnt numbers into the Jews' forearms, serial numbers that replaced the names their parents had given them. So the covering up of Judea and Samaria with the term West Bank makes of West Bank an anti-Semitic expression that no self-respecting Jew should ever use. And tomorrow, when you call the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria settlements, you connote newness and therefore something that can easily be removed. You'd be amazed how many post-Jewish Israelis have never crossed the 1949 ceasefire lines in any but the most superficial way. And they envision the settlements still as clusters of leaky caravans. They don't think of Kiryat Arba with its apartment houses, small ones. They don't think of Efrat with its tens of thousands of people in private homes and apartment houses. They don't think of Maale Edomim with its scores of people in Ariel, no less, and all the neighborhoods in Jerusalem that did not exist before 1967, people in apartment houses. One of Jerusalem's first acts after unification was drawing the new city limits of Greater Jerusalem. Because Tamar Pileggi and the foreign ministry used this vocabulary, they get the behavior they get. Israel has never demanded its rights to this real estate. Israel has agreed there should be a Palestinian state on it, boundaries to be determined. So what does she and the foreign ministry want from the Europeans, who via their labeling are confirming Israel's view that this land really belongs to and should be handed over to its rightful ancient owners? So there is something not kosher about Israelis living on land they admit is not theirs, doing business on this land, making money on this land. As Cesar Chavez was the darling of the left in the 1960s in California, representing the grape workers, calling for a grape boycott because the wages were so low, so the Europeans see themselves in support of the victims of this Israeli refusal to evacuate land that does not belong to it. Stop doing business on land that it admits is not theirs. Notice, too, that the foreign ministry used the term discriminatory but not the term anti-Semitism. Even as yesterday in London, Prime Minister Netanyahu went to 10 Downing Street and was met by a heckling crowd who were not pro-Palestinian, but naked anti-Semites. Judging by the news reports, the pro-Israel counter-demonstrators said they were not expecting what they confronted, what they witnessed, out-and-out hatred of Jews. Yesterday, I saw one woman on a video on the net who was there, who smiled and shrugged as she seemed to call for a new Holocaust and the extermination of today's 6 million Jews here. What I am getting at is that Israel has to wake up to the truth that the hostility to this state is not due to the love of any ancient people whose entire land was stolen by us. No, it's old-fashioned, timeless Jew hatred, which has existed in every generation, albeit in ever-mutating forms and really disguises. In early 19th century Germany, intellectuals tried to begin thinking about Jew hatred scientifically, since they had lost faith in religion. Once one drops the belief in Jesus of Nazareth as a divine being, out goes the deicide charge. You can't hate Jews anymore for that reason. So one idea was that people hated them because they smell differently. There's a certain Jewish odor, and people were put off by that. And one reason for that peculiar smell, one intellectual said, was that they eat too many onions and garlic. Others tried to connect the smell to peculiar sexual practices that the Jewish religion calls them to engage in. 500 years earlier, in the 14th century, in Germany, the Jews were said to have poisoned the wells, and the Black Death that took away a third of Europe. And in retribution for this evil activity by these Jews, they were massacred in many locales. Today in Europe, it is the presence of these settlements by Jews on land that does not belong to them which rouses opposition. Hence the labeling of products from this stolen land. Worse, today, I guess in Strasbourg, where the Euro Parliament usually meets, they met and passed another resolution, who knows how many they have over the years, calling for a greater role for themselves in determining the fate and future of Palestine, but deliberately refused to include an amendment language calling for renewed Israeli-Palestinian negotiations toward the two-state solution, which analysts there say smells of rejecting the idea of two states for two people. By implication, they're calling for the real final solution of one state for both peoples, which means transforming Israel into a non-specifically Jewish state. The Middle East will go from its current 21 Arab states versus one Jewish state, 21 Arab states, to a neutered binational state, which of course over time, and not much time, in which the ancient Palestinians have more children than Jews and turn it into a 22nd Arab state with a Jewish minority. That's the end of Zionism. Israel National News reported that one parliamentarian spoke out against this amendment, this idea of including a call, another one, for the two-state solution, because that could lead to the ethnic cleansing of the non-Jewish population. He got that? He fears creating two states for two peoples would recognize Israel as a Jewish, lead to the Jews licensing themselves to driving the Arabs out of Israel into the new Palestinian state or someplace else. Israelis have to wake up and see through the taurine excreta embodied in the terms of reference, West Bank, Palestinians, settlements. Israel must launch a campaign in the country and abroad insisting that the expression West Bank in Israel is as offensive as the N-word in English. Israel should shout to the heavens that there is no West Bank. No maps of this land for centuries display other than the names Judea and Samaria, Judea being the source word of Jew, and Israelis who do not use that term are people, Jews in general, with a problem, psychological problem, from the Greek word a soul problem. A Jew who does not say Judea and Samaria but West Bank is a Jew with a problem in his soul.
עם ישראל כמו הסנה הבוער, חשבו שנרדם אך ליבו תמיד ער. שחר חוזר כל הלילה לחם מתגבר, לבדו יוותר. עם ישראל כמו האיש ברמזור, כשיגיע סימן את הנהר יעבור. לא מפחד לעבור על הגשר הצר, מגיע לחוף ושם חוזרים אלייך. הדרך לא פשוטה, בקיבוץ גלויות יש פקקים. עם ישראל בונה מחלף ענווה, שמו מחסום כיסופים הוא ידע. ורק הוא יכול, הוא מראה לעולם איך ממלח וחול מקים פה מפעל אהבה. חוזרים אלייך, הדרך לא פשוטה, דרך ארוכה, תמשיך ללכת גם כשמתפתלות הדרכים. בקיבוץ גלויות יש פקקים. עם ישראל כמו הסנה הבוער, אמרו שנרדם אך ליבו תמיד ער.
Yes, Israelis must wake up and see the connection between events in the European Parliament today and yesterday in front of 10 Downing Street, and in Manchester last week, and Holland last month. All are different facets of Jew hatred in our time. I don't know about you, but all my post-World War II life, I assumed that the world had assimilated the insanity of anti-Semitism because of that war, and we would not see it again. And I was wrong. To be honest, Hashem has not allowed the Goyim thus far to go crazy en masse as they have in the past. The number of incidents against Jews is, by comparison, incredibly small in our time. And there's no government fanning the flames, except in the Muslim states. Still, on the micro level, we are witness to homicidal violence against Jews in individual cases, which is as horrifying as any in our history. It's timeless violence. Maybe you saw the report of that elderly Jewish couple in Holland. She's 86, her husband is 87, Samuel and Diana Blug, whose home was broken into one night last month by probably Moroccans, who demanded all their valuables and beat them bloody, literally crippling them. They are in wheelchairs now, in a hospital or a long-term care facility. There were pictures on the net of this old, black and blue, bruised woman, her face battered. It was horrific. And I say those who did this are timeless criminals, homicidal Jew haters, as monstrous as any Nazi, any Roman centurion, any Cossack, Polish or Catholic priest, and Spanish, in a drunken rage. What Muslims did in Paris to Ilan Halimi a few years ago was nothing new in the history of our people. They tortured him to death over a two-week period of hell on earth. In Uman, in Ukraine, just last Sabbath, the local Goyim wrecked a tent city Jews used for the pilgrimage to the grave of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov on Rosh Hashanah. And in Manchester, England, I think last Shabbos, a Jewish 70-year-old, son of a rabbi, reportedly buying weed, apparently rubbed the dealer the wrong way, and so that he and his confederates had a reason to beat him bloody. He's been in a coma since then, bleeding in the brain. It's a fair bet that the fact of his Jewishness played a major role in the violence he suffered. Reported today as we approach the end of 5775 was a serious uptick in immigration last year over the year before. For sure the new Olim are heavily European. In the J-Post report, Jewish activist in Belgium, when Joel Rubenfeld said, quote, "I fear we are witnessing the last generation of a significant European Jewish community. As at age 18, more and more young European Jews are leaving their countries, mainly to Israel, the U.S., and Canada, as they feel they have no more future in Europe as a Jew." Yeah, I'll say, especially this week as we see the floodgates open in Europe to the invasion of ultimately more than a million Muslims. So young Jewish men and women who are awake and sober and see what's happening, know what's happening, and it's all bad news, big time, because Muslims feel about Jews today like, say, Roman Catholics in the 14th century when the Black Death struck down millions. Think of it this way. Christianity was in its 7th century when Islam emerged and produced its first book. That's how primitive these illiterate rock-worshipping Arab savages were at the time. European literacy can be traced back to the Homeric period, more than 1,000 years before the rise of Islam. And of course, we Jews had been reading for 2,000 years the Torah before the rise of Islam, which produced the first book in the Arabic language. So in a simple arithmetic sense, we can say that Islam started life 7 centuries after the Christian era began, and it has remained at least 7 centuries behind in civilizational development, which is why I say that what is for Jews and Christians the 21st century is for the Arabs the 14th. A people as savage in their physical cruelty these days, their head chopping and sadistic tortures as Europeans were back then. Rubenfeld is surely correct in his prophecy. This is the last generation of Jewish life in Europe, because at this moment these Muslim barbarians are invading. Let me correct that. They are not invading anymore. They're being invited in. They're being invited to invade by the Europeans, who have got to know at some level of intelligence that they are committing suicide. Actually, judging by some worthy analysts, this move by the Germans in particular in welcoming all these Muslims may be less attempted suicide than an attempt to survive. The birth rate there for decades has been so low, the Germans are literally going out of existence. They're going the way of, the Etruscans and the Visigoths, the Alans and the Lombards. How else to explain this seeming lunacy of an Angela Merkel who just a few years ago said integration had failed? Why is she doing this? We seem to be living in a time when the great tectonic plates of civilization and history are shifting. 1,000 years ago, the nation states we were all familiar with in Europe did not exist. There was no Germany. There was no Italy. They did not congeal as unitary jurisdictions until the 1870s. France, into the 20th century, was home to 20% of its people who did not speak Parisian French, but the provincial languages of Bretagne in the north and Provençal in the south. Where are the Celts and the Druids? Excepting us Jews, nations come and nations go. And I think we're witness to something like that now. And not surprisingly, one feature of national turmoil that keeps popping up is a rise in Jew hatred, the eternal nation that does not disappear. In 1848 in Europe, called the Spring of Nations, a forerunner and inspiration for little Tommy Friedman's delusional Arab Spring, peoples defined by their languages and the variety of their church under the Habsburg Empire rose up. Nationalism was in the air. They wanted their independence, and not surprisingly, the Jews were targets in Germany, no less. As a result of which, in the space of 10 years, 250,000 Jews fled Germany for the United States into the Wild West. Unlike the latter-day Yiddish-speaking Eastern European Russian Jews and Russian Jews who got off the boat at Ellis Island and plopped down right there in Manhattan or made their way to Chicago or Philadelphia to the big cities, these German Jews literally walked into the American interior. Didn't stay in the big cities. They went out as peddlers with little notions to sell and saved up their money, and when their goods ran out, they bought a store and developed it, and they were in the burgeoning new cities, who went on to build the first department stores and the little ones they created. Macy's, Gimbel's, Marshall Field, I. Magnin, Filene's Basement, Neiman Marcus, Alexander's, B. Altman, Bloomingdale's, Sears Roebuck. Such was the energy of these German Jews who fled Germany a century before the Holocaust due to the flowering of evil Jew hatred in Germany in their lifetime.
שתוליכנו לשלום ותצעידנו לשלום ותגיענו אל מחוז חפצנו בשלום ותן חיים ותן תקווה שתאיר לנו את הטוב הבא שיחזיר לנו את אשר קבע גם אם סגרנו תיפתח עלינו תקווה ותן חיים ותן אהבה גם לשבור שבא לבבות לזרוע למודעת קרבות לטוף את הבוער שם מעבר לגדר היה שומר ותן חלום לחיים ולשמחה ולשלום במחילה קרובה אל הטוב אל הטוב הבא שים לנו אור על גוף וקצף על פני ים וגם אם לב תן לנו ראש מורם והיגיון אסוף וחופש שישמור עלינו שם פשוטים ותמימים ותן רחמים גם לשבור שבא לבבות לזרוע למודעת קרבות לטוף את שם מעבר לגדר היה שומר ותן חלום לחיים ולשמחה ולשלום במחילה קרובה אל הטוב הבא אל הטוב הבא הוא שבלבבות לזרוע למודעת קרבות לטוף את הבוער שם מעבר לגדר להרגיש לא רק לגעת אל תחשיך כל צעקה שבוקעת מכאב גובר שם מעבר לגדר השומר ותן חלום לחיים ולשמחה ולשלום ועם חילה קרובה אל הטוב הבא ברוך אתה אדוני שומע תפילה
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, Germany and Europe are once again, and not for the first time, experiencing an uptick in frightening Jew hatred expressed in varying degrees of civility from the European Parliament to the mean streets of London and Manchester. This invasion by these millions of Muslims, 6 million already are in Germany, and another 800,000 expected this year. This may indeed be a desperate grab for survival on the part of the Germans. Then again, one cannot help but note the oddity, the weird coincidence, if that's the word, of the Germans today ushering in a culture as hateful to Jews as German culture down the centuries has been. As we just heard in the last segment, before the Holocaust of the 20th century in Germany, it was an anti-Semitic state nation in the 19th century, with its early flowering of the lunatic theories of anti-Semites. It was also there during the Crusades, the 12th century, 11th century, where the Jewish communities in Worms and Speyer and Mainz were satanically pogromed. In Martin Luther's 16th century, the Jews were targeted as well. To read Martin Luther on the Jews is to listen to a soulmate of a 20th century Nazi crackpot. There's also fear in Europe today that among this, or within this river of humanity, streaming from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., there will be no shortage of homicidal maniacs primed to murder Jews, beat them up, as this poor couple in Holland was beaten. There's a fear ISIS head choppers will also come back from the battlefront and attack Jewish and Israeli businesses and institutions. The excellent Gatestone website today ran a piece on how Germany is already, and has been for a while, I guess, instituting in schools, in some sections, courses on Islam, mandatory for all pupils, where the curriculum is being designed by jihadis. We know how in France and England for some years now, public education has been silent on the Holocaust because it offends Muslim sensibilities. For according to Islam in our time, the Holocaust never happened. It's Jewish propaganda. And they have protested when the Brits and the French have taught this in their public schools. Thus does Europe commit suicide and simultaneously turn the continent over to this generation's leading Jew-hating faith community, who are as flaky about Jews as Germans were in their Nazi phase. The Nazis with their crackpot theories and hallucinations of Jewish skullduggery were simply bonkers, and so today are Muslims. Europe is committing demographic suicide via abortion, via pornography, which leads to the spilling of seed, as sodomy does, and is even blessed by the culture these days. That's why they're disappearing. And in its place come these 7th century primitives. One imagines that Angela Merkel and her fellow German leaders, in their desperation, hope to be able to Germanize all these Muslims, though she herself admitted that has not happened since Germany began importing Turks as Gastarbeiter, guest workers, in the 50s and 60s, to make up for the shortfall in manpower due to the 8 million Germans who died during World War II. I imagine she would agree that Germany has no choice now to make the attempt, as never before. Nationality in Europe has become a dirty word, and not surprisingly, anti-Jewism has risen its ugly head again. The very definition of what it means to be a German or a Frenchman these days is being challenged and chipped away at and rotting from inside. It's mutating away from a moribund Christian identity toward an Islam still on fire with belief in its right to take over, like Nazis, the whole world.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Tzadikai, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai,
אהבה, היי, לה 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 לה,
Lastly, to end the week and the year on an up note, in the midst of all these stories of violence against Jews, which should include the firebombing fad in Jerusalem that has been going on for weeks now in neighborhoods abutting Arab areas, Armon HaNatziv and Abu Tol, places like that. Defense Minister Yalon has put down in writing now the outlawing of two Arab groups paid for by the jihadis to harass Jews visiting the Temple Mount. It has been bad enough for years now that Jews can only visit, not pray. Now they can barely even think because they are routinely surrounded by shrieking females, with the police doing their damnedest not to let the Jews offend these Arabs. Apparently, Yalon thinks the police can prevent, and should, these harpies in the future from their ugly behavior. Turn in Shai Nitzan yesterday has ordered all prosecutors to seek stiffer penalties for rock throwers. On the one hand, that's good news. On the other, his initiative will not apply to those who throw rocks at our soldiers, only civilians. Well, I suppose it's a step forward. As I said the other day, the cliche tells us that if you want respect, you must respect yourself first. And Israel can start by banning the rock throwers and the use of the words West Bank and settlements, and start using instead Judea, Samaria, and our rights. Okay, that's it until after Rosh Hashanah. I'll be back a week from tonight. So, Shana Tova Umtuka, Lechulam, a good and sweet year to one and all. Lele Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.